Research into artificial organs has stepped up with today's advanced technological techniques. One of these is an artificial heart. Like the real heart, the artificial one consists of two ventricles. That is the only point of similarity between the two. Researchers have placed a motor between the two ventricles. This motor pushes the internal walls of the two ventricles, and the heart contracts. There is a receptacle in the pumps in the artificial heart, and there is another system for pumping the blood in the container. In the real heart, the container itself functions as the pump. This is much more effective. The artificial heart works with a battery placed into the stomach. This battery needs to be constantly recharged with radio waves from a much larger battery package. The real heart is nourished and strengthened by the blood it pumps. This allows it to work for 50 to 60 years without needing any repairs. The real heart is able to renew itself. That is why it never loses the ability to keep working. All these features make it totally unique. Stephen Vogel, a bioengineer from Duke University in America, states that the human heart can never be imitated. It's that the engines we have available, whatever their power output or efficiency, work so differently. Heart muscle is a soft, wet, contractile engine, and that's just unlike anything in our technological armamentarium. So you can't imitate a heart. In short, despite all the technology he possesses, man will never manage to replicate the heart. That being the case, is it not evident that those who maintain that this heart and the whole body which contains it should have emerged by chance, Darwinists in other words, are making a huge mistake? God commands us to consider the proofs of creation and to give thanks to Him. O man, what has deluded you in respect of your noble Lord? He who created you and formed you and proportioned you and assembled you in whatever way He willed. Viruses represent a serious threat to computer systems. They first enter the system and then multiply by reproducing themselves. They seriously damage the texts and data in the computer. Many companies, therefore, believe it is necessary to develop an immune system for defense against these viruses. One of the studies in this field is continuing in the virus insulation laboratories of IBM's Watson Research Center. The inspiration behind it is the immune system in the human body. Steve White, one of the company's executives, states, "It's only the existence of an immune system that allows the human race to exist. Only an immune system in cyberspace will allow it to exist. Computer viruses have an artificial life. Just like biological viruses in nature, they use the system they find themselves in to reproduce themselves. Researchers set out from this point to study how the human immune system protects the body. When the body encounters a foreign organism, it immediately begins to create an antibody to recognize and neutralize the invader. In this way, the body suppresses the first infection. In order to be able to respond to similar occurrences more quickly in the future, it keeps some of these antibodies waiting on standby. Computer viruses also bear signs allowing their programmer to be recognized. The virus scanner programming computers sends a warning that there is a virus in the computer whenever it encounters such a signature. In other words, antivirus programs contain an antibody to recognize the virus signature, if not the whole virus. Yet again, this example shows that the solution to problems which people are unable to find a solution to in the technological arena are actually to be found in nature, or even our own bodies. This is because God, who created man and all of nature, possesses infinite knowledge and reason. Cameras are produced along the lines of the human eye. As technology advances and the secrets of the eye are revealed, so the technological features of these machines multiply. Despite this, however, the level of camera technology cannot be compared to the perfect features of the eye. The first step in taking a photograph is setting the focus. This is done by hand in manual cameras or automatically in more sophisticated ones. Yet this automatic system is quite slow and never produces a perfect focus. Whereas the human eye is constantly focusing, and in a very short space of time. It is sufficient to look at an object to see it clearly. Everything else is automatically carried out by the eye and the brain in the space of less than a tenth of a second. A picture taken by a camera in daylight is quite clear. Yet, if you take a shot somewhere dark, without a powerful flash, you will end up with almost no image at all. Yet you can still see around you perfectly, quite clearly in darkish conditions. Our eyes set themselves according to differing light conditions and intensities. It is the muscles around the pupil that bring this about. These muscles open up in the dark, the pupil expands, and more light is allowed to enter the eye. In daylight, on the other hand, the pupil contracts, and the amount of light entering the eye decreases. This ensures that the image is always clear. There is no doubt that the eye, with such a sensitive and flawless system, is a great blessing to us from God, our Creator. Indeed, in the Quran, God recommends that we think on this truth and give thanks to Him. Say, it is He who brought you into being and gave you hearing, sight, and hearts. What little thanks you show.